The following worship service was recorded live with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Bible-based faith community in Rock Springs, Wyoming, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Liturgy is from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The parables of Jesus are always a vehicle of delivery. So often we get caught up in the story that we don't see the package that has been delivered. I told them in Sunday school that a parable of Jesus is like a pickup truck. It delivers the goods. But sometimes we get lost in the looks of the truck. We get lost in the shininess or the raggedness of it. And we forget that the only purpose it really served was to bring its cargo to us. And that's what a parable does. And notice that this one is very powerful. This one is loaded. And I'll encourage you to underline some things if you want to as you go. But as I look at this parable, it is about two people. It's about three places. And it's about outcomes and changes. And it's about what those decisions bring about, I guess. But it's also about custom. And it's about tradition. And it's about preconceptions. And it's about these different ideas and views of God, if you will, that are held. So to tell you that this is sermon's going to cover all of those, you're off the hook. We'll be out by 1:15 at the latest, and I still will have not covered all of it. Of all the parables in the Bible that Jesus tells, just the ones that Jesus shares, if we spent an hour a week looking at the parables of Jesus, that means we'd have 52 hours in a year. We would not cover 1/4 of his parables adequately. That's how deep they are. Parables have depth and meaning. This one's no different. Notice how it starts out. Jesus starts out with saying, "There was a rich man," and he has no name. He says he's just a rich man. You know, there's a lot of them maybe. They're everywhere. His name is not given. There is a rich man who had everything that he could want. He had everything. He's clothed well. He eats well. He's got a nice home with a gate so that he can, you know, keep people out, I guess, or decide who gets to come in. But on the outside is this guy, Lazarus. Now, Lazarus means empty, needy, weak. It has a lot of different readings in it, but it's Lazarus. And all it says about him is he's sick and he's got sores and the dogs lick him. But you've got this complete contrast between the two. Don't let it be wasted. In the Jewish culture, these two contrasts are important. And they're important to this parable. As Jesus was telling this parable, it would not have been lost on the people who were hearing it. You see, in the Jewish custom, much like in our culture today, the more you had, the more God was blessing you. The more you had in fame, fortune, notoriety, the more God was blessing you. And then if you didn't have those things, then God was punishing you. Sounds like the fame and fortune gospel message that's out there today. And that message is prevalent in our society and culture because it suits everybody who has something. Then this rich man in the story, felt like he was super good. He needed a good pat on the back. He needed the respect of all the people because evidently he was more righteous than anybody because he was this rich man, that God was blessing him. And in the fame and fortune gospel message today, if you're having problems, it's because you're not faithful enough. If you're having problems, it's because you have sinned. And if you're having problems, it's because you haven't done all you could and all you should. Maybe you need to give more, tithe more, get more involved. You know, they always give you that cause and effect and you need to do and fix and all that stuff. But what does that say to the person who is crippled? What does that say to the person or the family who has a Down syndrome child? Does it say to them what this story is saying about Lazarus? You got what you deserved. What does it say to that person who is struggling with life in general? You see, our society, our culture has these perfect images, doesn't it? For women, it's certain sizes, shapes, all of those things. You have to be, if not, then you're defective. For men, it's the same thing. You know, I watch these commercials. And one of the reasons I don't like television, you could get, of course, it wouldn't do much good for me. You could actually get stuff to put on your comb and comb it through and take the gray away naturally. Folks, if you're taking the gray away, it's not natural. You know, let me be honest with you. Just take it away naturally. You know, it's dye. You can call it whatever. You know, but it's all of these things. And I get these. How many of you watch Bowflex commercials? I'm 50 years old and I'm in the best shape of my life. They never had a day of fat in their life. You know, that's just the reality of it. I'm not saying don't be fit and do all that stuff. I'm just saying our society says there's a certain thing that fits. And if you fit it, then you're going to be successful. And there are people once in a while that kind of try that area and they make it. But it's in our churches. It's everywhere. You know, you got to fit in. I've preached, you know, a couple weeks ago about boxes. Everybody thinks that there's a certain way. How many of you have ever asked somebody, I had somebody ask you, what do you folks wear to church? Have you ever had anybody ask that? I get asked that all the time. Pastor, if we want to visit your church, how should we dress? I said, clothed, covered, completely. You know, or however you think we'll be comfortable, maybe would be the best. You know, and that's, so now you've got this rich man, you got this idea, not only that, he's righteous, and that means, since he's so good, God's blessed him so much, he can ignore Lazarus. Do you know why? Because Lazarus is being punished by God. And since Lazarus is being punished by God, that means that if he helps Lazarus, he's getting in God's way. So he would be out of the will of God if he helps this beggar out there, feed him, clothe him, or do anything else. You know, and so he is righteous. And he ignores Lazarus, even though Lazarus evidently is peeking in. Did you notice that? don't know if he's looking under the gate or he's looking. How many of you heard the joke about the people at the insane asylum and the hole in the fence? Here we go. Because you look like you need a little something to stimulate you this morning. I've put you completely to sleep. This guy's walking down the street one day, and he looks over, and he sees this asylum, and behind it the people are going, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14. And it's just got him. He don't know what to do. And he thinks, what are those crazy people are doing? 14, 14, 14, 14. And as he goes by, there's a hole in the fence. And he leans over to see what those crazy people are doing. And he looks through that, and just as he does, they poke him in the eye with a stick and say, 15, 15, 15, 15. So watch out. You know, maybe last. I'm sorry, that just come to mind. I couldn't help it. You ever done that? You had a serious thought, but all of a sudden, some crazy day like that comes. So anyway, yeah, I'm human. So now you've got this contrast, but then the playing field gets leveled. They both die. Game over. But there's a difference in that. Did you notice that the angels took Lazarus up and took him to paradise? And the rich man just died and opened up his eyes in torment. Do you notice that the rich man begins having a conversation? He looks across this great chasm, this gulf that's fixed, which is a separation between heaven and hell. And there is heaven and hell, by the way. Heaven's sweet and hell's hot. Ask the rich man. So he looks over there, and what does he see? He sees tradition staring him in the face. He looks over there, and he's a good Jewish man. He's blessed of all blessings. And there, that good Jewish Abraham, he's holding on to that nasty, sore-covered, infested beggar under God's punishment, Lazarus. Do you see that? And he's going, oh, heck, what am I doing over here? And the rich man, out of his arrogance, tells Abraham, have mercy on me. He asked for what he did not show. And look what else he does. He begins to order Abraham around. Send Lazarus over here with a drop of water on his finger to quench this thirst. Send him. He doesn't say, can you? Will you? Would it be in the hell? He says, you do it. And Abraham says, sorry, Charlie. Have you not noticed? There's a big chasm, and we can't go over there, and you can't come over here, and that's just the way it is. And then the rich man says, well, if I can't do that, he can't come over here, then how about going and take that bum, that Lazarus, that sick man, take that man that I despised, take that man that I ignored, Abraham, and send him back. I've got five brothers at my father's house, and I don't want them to come down to this place of torment. Send him. What's the matter with you? What? They have the same options that you had. They had the same options that you had. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And he said, that's not good enough. I had those options. Look where I am. I kept it. I'm a good. That's what he's saying. I'm kind of paraphrasing, because I don't want to go through the whole Greek with you on this thing. He's got all this. So he says, well, I'll tell you what. You send him back. You know, let him go back. And if somebody from the dead, that'll do it. He goes back. And Abraham says, and I want you to underline this last little piece. And Abraham says to him, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, a little foreshadowing here for Luke, neither will they believe one who is raised from the dead. Neither would they believe him. I want you to notice something. Lazarus never speaks. Lazarus never says a word after he dies. But the rich man, still filled with indignation, self-righteousness, arrogance, and pride, even in hell, he doesn't repent. Even in hell, he doesn't regret. Even in hell, he feels no remorse. Even in hell, his heart is unrepentant. In our culture and society today, it's often punched at us, and I get this all the time, and I actually had somebody on Facebook that had to defriend because of this crazy stuff. Well, that's not very Christian, is it? That's not very Christian, is it? Now, that's hypocritical, isn't it? That's calling the kettle black. Anyway, the thing is, in our culture, in our society today, we're kind of conditioned, because this phrase is, how could your loving God send somebody to hell? If your God's so loving, how could your God send somebody to hell? Let's practice a reply to that. Why would you choose a loving God? Why would you choose hell over a loving God? You see, the statement is, why would your God send me, is a statement of I'm not responsible. But a statement to why would you choose hell over a loving God is a choice. The rich man in this story didn't get that the Jewish people were called first and foremost to live out mercy, that they were to minister to three classes of people: widows, orphans, and the sick. Jesus will later raise Lazarus from the dead. Not this one, of course. And he will have let him die so that they would all know that God could raise the dead. So for us this morning, what is the application? It's pretty simple. People who go to hell, even when they get there, won't repent. God won't send them, they will go. For those who die in the Lord know that God's arms reach out and his angels bear us up. But notice that this rich man just opened his eyes in torment. He wasn't sent there. He had already earned that place and rejected the other. That's the choices we have. And notice that that man didn't repent in life, nor did he repent in hell. His heart was hardened from his earthly life unto his eternal destiny. And that last verse is, Jesus is saying, if they don't believe that I'm who the prophet said I am before I die, they won't believe me when I'm resurrected. May we realize God's love and grace in Christ Jesus. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a minute. How gracious and loving God. We come now to close the service, sort of, this time and place. From here we will go our separate ways into ministry as you've called us, which is living among the peoples, that they would see Christ in us. And Father, may our hearts not be hardened, but let them be open. Let pride not fill us, or self-ambition drown you out, or the calls or standards set by the world define us. But let us be defined in your grace and in your love. And Father, let us know that whether we be rich or whether we be poor, whether we be healthy or whether we be sick, you love us just the same. Whether our IQ is 180 or 40, you love us just the same. Your Son died for each and every one of us that we might not perish. But Father, what is required of us is to repent, to live in humility, and to seek you in everything we do, not just some things, but in all things. And Father, while all of that seems impossible, you have not said we had to do it alone, for you have sent your Holy Spirit to empower us. So Father, this morning, we come, we thank you, we praise you, and we seek the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us, to strengthen us, that we may share in your grace and that we may share your grace in the world around us. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you on this Lord's Day. Amen. By God's grace we have came, by God's grace may we leave. By the power of the Holy Spirit we know, and by the power of the Holy Spirit we can go to serve. And now may God's grace, peace, and mercy go with you, bless you, and keep you. And may the grace of God, the peace of God, and the presence of God guide you in your witness for Him in the world into which we go. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.